definitions and criteria into line with general patent law. The Commission can accept additional reporting requirements, including the establishment of new advisory committees, providing that resource implications are borne in mind by the Parliament. The Commission cannot accept amendments which relate to the Commission's right of initiative or the relationship with non-community institutions. On key issues of substance, the Commission is strongly committed to promotion of interoperability as a means of fostering innovation and competition, and to ensure that community legislation does not act as a hindrance to different software development models, proprietary or open source. It therefore maintains certain flexibility as to the solution found to deal with interoperability, providing that our international obligations are respected. On the scope of patentability, further clarification of the common position is acceptable, but no significant changes departing from the current situation or from general patent law solutions. I should signal here that we see particular drafting problems with certain amendments relating to technical contribution and inventive step. On claims to computer programs on a carrier, where such programs implement a patented invention, the Commission can accept any solution between the common position and the Commission's original proposal, including alternative formulations to achieve the same objective of enforcing valid patents. The Commission has noted the high number of amendments tabled on top of the Legal Affairs Committee's report. I will set out the Commission's overall position on all amendments at the end of this morning's discussion. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. And I give the floor now to the speakers on behalf of the groups. First of all, to speak for 2 minutes on behalf of the EPP group, Mrs. Kauppi.
Arvoisa puhemies.
Thank you, President. Commissioner, ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing in tomorrow's vote will be to ensure that the patentability of computer programs should not be extended further by the Council Common Position going through the Parliament without any amendment. There have been an exceptionally large number of problems with this bill. The Commission and Council have paid no heed to amendments passed by a majority in the Parliament. The most striking example can be found on the Commission's website, SCAD Plus, a direct loan from it. The common position confirmed by the Council in May 2004 did not take on board any of the European Parliament's significant amendments. So we just weren't taken into consideration at all. And that's not the way to do things, not here and not in other areas either. I hope that a majority in Parliament will support the moderate amendments to the Council's common position, which would tighten up the requirements for patentability of software. The most important thing is to prevent that patents for software and business activity models can be granted in Europe. Some of the current practice in the European Patent Office has been taken too far into grey areas, and patents have been granted on the flimsiest of grounds. The patentability of software in Europe must not be extended any further. Moreover, the bulk of today's technological products are of benefit to software, and patents granted for technological products should not be refused simply because the products happen to include software. We must also make sure that patents cannot be used to prevent the development of compatible software. It's a good thing that we agree with the Commission on that, at least. The directive should support European innovative research and development in software. This means that no unnecessary barriers should be put up to such developments as open source software. Although, I'd like to point out that patents are of key importance to many European businesses. Academic research has, however, shown that research and development efforts around the world do not depend on patents or on geography. businesses will carry out their activities where they gain the most profit, in other words, where there is the best environment for innovation on offer, irrespective of the extent of patent protection in that jurisdiction. So that doesn't mean that these patents will be produced in Europe, that the goods will be produced in Europe or the software will be produced in Europe. They can be produced in India and apply for a patent in Europe. The aim of the directive is to achieve common practice by the European Patent Office and the Member States in granting software patents. And the problems shared by all patent systems, they're slow, they're expensive and so on, are not the subject of today's debate, but it is clear that a general patent should be obtainable quickly. I think that likely that we will have to go to conciliation on this issue. With all the amendments that we will hopefully approve tomorrow. And may I remind you that if the final outcome of that process is not satisfactory to Parliament, all we can do is to reject the whole bill again after conciliation. A bad directive should never be allowed to go through. Thank you.
Grazie.
Thank you very much. On behalf of the Socialist Group, Mrs. Berger, for 3 minutes. Thank you very much, President. First of all, I'd also like to thank the rapporteur, Michel Rocard, and Aline McCarthy, the rapporteur from the first reading, which also deserves thanks because they have helped us through this very difficult procedure and done so very well up to now. I have been involved in this question since the first reading, and this question of computer-implemented equipment is not, in fact, standard for the work we do in the European Union. We have also all seen an extent of lobbying that we felt was either unacceptable or could be considered as part of a genuine democracy, but the intention was, in fact, all round, that we wanted to seek a great level of innovation in the European Union. But we have seen again and again that there's a very inflexible attitude in the European Commission and a common position from the Council that is not really a genuine common position. And the more closely we deal with this question, the more clearly we see two general considerations. There are limits to legislation. I think we have reached the limit here because we either want clear and unequivocal notions for invention, but then there's the danger that we, in fact, hamper future-oriented developments, or we allow some margins. Then that's a cost of legal security and the consistency of legislation. Normally, this conflict is solved through a functional legal system so that, in fact, the possibilities of appeal and complaints are allowed for. But we cannot assume that in this case. Therefore, we need for this area more than a directive, a European patent system and a functional legal security and protection system at the European level, which allows both big and small companies access to the system. But, of course, we will be seeing what the outcome is, but we are certainly firmly behind the amendments tabled by Michel Rocard. Thank you very much.
Grazie.
Thank you. On behalf of the ALDE group, for 3 minutes, I give the floor to Mrs. Manders.
Dank u wel, voorzitter.
Thank you, President. Commission, my dear colleagues, I'd like to thank everyone, in particular Mr. Rocard and Mrs. McCarthy, who really have more right to our thanks on this directive than anyone else. They've, although there are differences of opinion on many of the parts of this directive here in this House. The whole reason for this is that some rather pointless patents have been granted by the EPO in Munich recently. There seem to be all sorts of things that can be patented, and I understand the general thrust of this directive. I think we're all in agreement that this kind of thing should not be happening. That's why we need the directive. So the idea is for this directive is to improve and strengthen Article 52 of the Munich Convention. President, I don't see how any legislation could be clearer than Article 52 of the Munich Convention. It's perfectly clear. And yet, the Member States manage to interpret it differently and sometimes perhaps wrongly, and this is leading to tremendous legal uncertainty. To prevent these false patents, these phony patents, it's very important because it will help us to improve the protection in Europe and competitivity among European businesses too. I think there needs to be some way of rewarding inventors who have to be able to protect their inventions and their innovations. If we don't do that, then it will be the big multinational corporations and their R&D departments that will benefit, and it will be very difficult for us to produce the right kind of legislation in Europe. We must show that we have the power to produce the right kind of legislation that will strengthen our competitiveness on the world stage, and our grandchildren and children will regret it if we don't. Now, what is the main problem here, President? Well, it is that this House, the European Commission and Council, as such, are not subject to any democratic, do not have any democratic scrutiny over the European Patent Office, and we need that. That's why we have submitted an amendment, number 65, in which we say, Commission, come back with a European Union patent so that this House can have some control over what goes on at the European Patent Office. Then it can all be done under European rules, and we will have the right legal medium and the right legal organisation. And then, and this is very important for our small businesses, we can ensure that we have clarity thanks to the right and the same legal procedures. At the moment, it's very difficult to know whether you can take action because your patent has been violated. Small businesses simply can't afford it because it costs far too much. Tonight, when the I hope that we can vote in favour of this directive tomorrow, so that the Commission can come up with a proper proposal for a European patent. This is what my group believes, and that so that we have properly balanced legislation in this important area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of the Greens, European Free Alliance, Mrs. Lichtenberger for 3 minutes. Thank you very much, President. Dear colleagues, today we will be deciding whether innovation in the IT field will be feasible and whether we will give the necessary free reins for SMEs to develop. Now, everybody maintains that that is what they want, both those who are opposed as those who are in favour of patents. But nobody is saying here openly that they want to patent software, and the changes are, or the diversities are in the amendments. It's a question of whether we open the back door to patenting software. The difference is whether there's a clear demarcation line between technical inventions, which should of course be under patent law, and software, which is already protected through copyright. The question is whether there are 10 to 15 backdoors or not. Is there legal insecurity, or is there freedom for the development of SMEs? Now, if we decide in favour of the common position of the Council today, then we are deciding for wide open doors. The sluice gates are open for the whole patent system, so that stepwise we will see that covering the market in Europe, and the TRIPS agreement will in fact be covering software altogether. Then you are deciding that ideas become market objects, and SMEs have no chance whatsoever to be able to keep up, because the legal costs involved in developing and defending patents in front of the court will be too high. It cannot be so that SMEs are generally condemned simply to get involved in patentability in order to defend their innovations. But if you favor the 21 amendments that have broad support, then you are allowing innovative and creative SMEs room to move, so that in fact they can develop. With these 21 amendments, we are in fact correcting the government errors, because clearly they are going in the wrong direction and they have given in to the pressure from industry. This, and we shouldn't have any illusions, they want full patentability for software, because that gives them an additional income and it fills it up their coffers, and SMEs will in fact then not be able to get into the market for innovation. You see this clearly, for example, in adverts set up by SAP and others, for example in the European Voice. Look at these adverts, and then you will see what the council position actually entails. With the 21 amendments, you will achieve that we have a free market which allows for open competition in the market, not in front of a court system. So support these 21 amendments. We badly need them for the development of European innovation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. For the GUE NGL group, let me give the floor to Mrs. Figueiredo for 3 minutes, please. Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is an exceptionally important debate. The stakes are extremely high. Intellectual freedom, technical innovation, and the very economic competitiveness of Europe. Scientists, university professors, research groups, and SME representatives have said the same thing. The March common position of council is unacceptable, just as the 22nd of February 2002 position view is unacceptable. Parliament made its views known first last year, and council utterly ignored what we had to say, and that's unacceptable. As we said then, we say again now, you can't patent ideas, you can't patent knowledge. So, as we proposed before on the patentability directive for invention and computer programs and inventions, we reject the council's common position. At the moment, the correct position is the only one that will stop us moving down a dangerous path for innovation and knowledge. We know that the copyright system has provided a good level of protection for software writers, giving them rights over their creations. It's not possible, it's not acceptable that we stop someone sitting down and writing the software program that they want, or tailoring a software program for their own particular needs. Concentrating the right to create software in the hands of a few will have very serious repercussions indeed. Software has allowed economies to take off, simplification of tasks, automation, and it's done it cheaply. But overall, if there were software patents, this wouldn't have happened. And it won't be possible in the future if we allow this to happen. Because companies, when they're setting up, will need to hire teams of lawyers to work out whether their ideas might be infringing on some patent that someone else has taken out. That's a very dangerous road to go down. It's not like a common patent that protects an invention. A software gives a patent over an idea, It's an attack on intellectual freedom, on the possibility of European industry taking off and developing further. They simply focus power in the hands of multinationals like Microsoft, and they give them the power over the evolution of knowledge, because SMEs simply don't have the deep pockets that the big companies have. They won't be able to take them on in court and fight for their own ideas. That's why we need to stop the council position from going forward. We think that a directive in this area should maintain intellectual freedom, the freedom to innovate, and that's why we want our amendments to be backed by colleagues. Thank you, President. The President, thank you. For the Independence Democracy Group, I give the floor to Mr. Wise for 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Computer entrepreneurs are amongst the most independent spirits in the world. I know how they feel faced with the prospect of this directive. They, as much as anyone, reject the concept of restrictive monoliths. They also know that the EU is just such a monolith. The directive is typical of the monolithic actions which they seek to reject. I have worked hard in recent weeks to help computer SMEs resist this directive, but I have come to realise that the amendments proposed by the rapporteur do not change the fundamental problem. Monsieur Rocard is trying to remove non-technical features of computer-controlled inventions from the scope of the directive, and that in itself is laudable. But he is not seeking to stop the directive overall. In fact, he's supporting it. As such, small computer companies are left, one might say, between a Rocard and a hard place. Monsieur Rocard goes as far as to state in his explanatory statement that he supports the Council's position in principle. His amendments do not reject the concept of harmonisation. They explicitly support it, and one of them even says that the objective of the directive, namely to harmonise the national rules on patentability of computer-controlled inventions, cannot be sufficiently achieved by the Member States. Monsieur Rocard, sadly, is one of those, typical in the EU, who increasingly seem to think that the European Patent Office is some sort of subsidiary of the EU, when in fact it covers non-EU countries as well. I reject this directive completely. That is why I will vote against it, and Mr. Rocard's version of it. I have always said that if the EU is the answer, it must have been a silly question. Today, that is patently obvious.
Thank you. For the Union for the Europe of Nations group, I give the floor to Mr. Crowley. 2 minutes, please, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. At the outset, I want to pay a personal tribute to the rapporteur, Michel Rocard, who's had a very difficult task in trying to find compromises and agreements on this. And in saying that, it also saddens me to say that many times when I listen to the debate on this issue, both in the committee and here in the chamber itself, that it seems that we're totally unconnected with reality of what's happening outside of these walls. Because innovation is the very key and the very engine that will drive our economies. When people speak about ensuring that other people can use software patents, they seem to think that everybody can come up with these ideas themselves and they don't need any protection or any grounding for those ideas. However, what we do see happening is by some of the people proposing some of the amendments and by some of the lobby that has taken place on this issue, they simply want a free-for-all, no protection within the European Union. And what would that lead to? That would lead to American companies or Japanese companies or other companies patenting the very ideas that European software developers, European innovators come up with, and forcing those same European innovators to have to buy them back from them. Patents are not a sword. Patents are a shield. They're there to defend your ideas. We should ensure that the rules and regulations that we set down guarantee that those innovators have those protections and have those rights. And when I hear some of the speeches coming out in the chamber here, and again some of the lobbying material that I've received over the last number of weeks on this issue, saying about protecting small and medium-sized enterprises, just give you one example. In the innovative computer technology sector in Ireland, there are 100,000 jobs. 62,000 of those jobs come from small and medium-sized enterprises. They fully support the common position on this issue, and that's why I would urge all members to think with their hearts, but most importantly, think with your mind. What protection would you like to see if you have ideas? This is not about harmonisation. This is more about mutual recognition of 25 varying and different regulations in the member states to ensure that small companies, small innovators, can be guaranteed legal certainty and financial certainty with regard to the protection of their ideas and the promotion of them.
Grazie.
Thank you. From the non-attached members, Mr. Gollnisch, for 2 minutes, please.
Les logiciels.
Is software patentable, Mr. President, for the huge companies in computers, Microsoft and IBM, there's no doubt at all. For the small and medium enterprises and for programmers linked to the industry, researchers, independent software developers, patentability of software would, as far as they're concerned, be a death sentence. This has been going around, this issue between Parliament and Council of Ministers, for 2 years. This parliamentary marathon might end up with the approval of a Bolkestein directive, yet another one, this time on software patentability. The EPO, in contradicting the letter as well as the spirit of the law, has granted 30,000 patents on methods of processing data or carrying out mathematical calculations. These are often trivial and as ill-founded as their counterparts in the USA. We should say no to software patentability for all kinds of reasons, Mr. President. First and foremost, because computers use language, and you can't patent the words of a language, because that would stop other people from using such a language freely. We would protect the specific combination of the words, and this would be done through copyright, just like copyright is exercised it for a musical score and not for the individual musical notes. That's precisely the principle that is put forward by the Munich Convention. Why scrap copyright? Why revise music? It's impossible. It would stop people from writing new software. How can one even consider that we could live in a country where it's possible for a company to have exclusive right over the way to put together a document if you're going to use bold type for one part or italics for another part? Some of these ideas have already been patented in the USA. We should say no to the Commission and Council as they try to kill small and medium-sized software creation companies. The President, thank you, Mr. Gollnisch. Now we move on to backbench speakers. First of all, on behalf of the EPP group, Mr. Lehner.
Herr Präsident, meine sehr verehrten.
Thank you, President, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we owe thanks to the rapporteur and shadow rapporteur, but here in particular, I would like to thank the shadow rapporteur for our group, Pieno Raccaupi, who's done an excellent job here and found some excellent compromises to come up with the right solution and shown tremendous know-how here. I have as much admiration as possible to have for the job that she has done on this. One thing I want to make perfectly clear, and it was clear in the Legal Affairs Committee, the debate there too, nobody, no political group, no individual, wants software patents. Well, some individuals might. That's not really what this is all about. The point behind the directive was to prevent the development that have taken place in the US, taking place in Europe too. That's the goal. And the common position meets that goal as well. We've heard the Chamber of Commerce and Industry of Munich and Upper Bavaria, and they said to us that that is, by the way, the part of Germany where they have the biggest concentration of small businesses developing software, and they feel that too, that the common position will solve their problems and meet their requirements. But they can be improved nonetheless. And in the Legal Affairs Committee, we came up with a whole series of decisive improvements in the form of 39 amendments. clarification, new options being created, interoperability, technical definitions, and so on. Those are examples. Then it's a moderate report, which is a good attempt at solving the problems we have. The Rocard amendments and those from other groups, however, have gone way beyond this goal. They even refer to the Lisbon process. There is nothing in the Lisbon process about the knowledge-based economy in Europe. All our knowledge depends on the skills of our people. And so what's going to happen if we have all these extreme amendments go far too far? If we go along with those, future generations in this continent will lose their chance of a livelihood. And I think, therefore, that is why the vast majority of people in our group do not agree with those amendments. The next important point is the refusal amendments, as they're called, to refuse the common position and send it back to Commission. Now, there are two reasons for taking this into consideration. First of all, we're going to have to go through a long conciliation process on the basis of amendments in the Legal Affairs Committee, and then we could lose out at the end of the third reading by a simple majority. Secondly, we don't want to cause harm to Europe in general and the Lisbon process in particular by the means of these amendments. That's the decision we have to take today. Thank you.
Grazie.
Thank you. Mr. Jena, 2 minutes, please.
Mr. President, introduction of patents for computer-implemented inventions will be detrimental for SMEs, for research and development, for the entire IT industry, but also for an average citizen who uses a laptop or a PC and already now has to pay for very expensive software. Experts say that the common position of the Council allows to grant the patentability for software. The text which was submitted 2 years ago to this House introduced this project through the so-called back door. And I think that the amendments proposed do not eliminate the main controversial point in the main issue, which is the scope of the patent. Actually, they may lead to an overtly liberal approach, assuming that we should grant patents in such a way and not in a different way. The so-called draft recommendation for second reading, from the year 2004 clearly showed that there is a line between what is an invention and what is not. So we have strong concerns that this directive will not lead to harmonization because it doesn't clarify certain controversial issues, but on the contrary, strengthens the doubts. It can be also seen as an overtly liberal practice, by way of which we assume that everything that uses software under Article 52.2 of the Munich Convention, this sort of thing is treated as an invention. We should go maybe more in the spirit of Mr. Rocard and everything that was said in the previous term of office of the European Parliament. We don't want to waste the work of the previous European Parliament. We also want to protect SMEs, protect innovation. Also, we have to remember that adequate protection for intellectual property should be guaranteed in the common market.
Grazie.
Thank you very much. Mrs. Bowles, for 2 minutes. Sorry, 2.5 minutes, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The territorial limitations of contributory infringement are actually what underlies why software product claims were originally written and permitted by the European Patent Office. The new approach in my amendment, Amendment 66, does eliminate software claims and therefore the concerns they raise, but extends contributory infringement provisions that already apply within most member states so as to cover imports from China, Russia or elsewhere. Commission, This proposal, along with those for monitoring the European Patent Office, sit more conveniently in the context of the community patent and how it may be properly administered, which is where this whole matter really belongs. But Mr. Rocard, your amendments really focus on little more than programs on personal computers, rather than the vast array of important technology that depends on computer-implemented inventions. Almost all areas of technology are linked with use of programmable apparatus, from fermentation control for antibiotic growth to aeronautics or telecommunications. The list is endless. Programmable devices are everywhere, in almost everything you can plug in or switch on, and your amendments interfere with them in apparatus and method terms, not just software. Your simplistic exclusions of data processing exclude signal processing and digital technology. Information is a term used since the earliest times of radio to distinguish signals from noise. Applied natural science excludes engineering. The expression controllable forces of nature is a legal nightmare for many member states. Collectively, your terminology wipes out patentability throughout huge areas of technology, not just programming. If you wished to construct a series of amendments to cripple and disperse Europe's industry, large and small, you could not devise anything more mischievous. I am sorry, but for the real world of industrial technology, your blunderbuss amendments are simply not good enough. Thank you.
Mr. Hammerstein-Mintz, for 2 minutes, please. Thank you, Mr. President. This deceptive and ambiguous directive is the dream of patent lawyers and the nightmare for small and medium software companies, consumers, and indeed freedom of expression over the internet. We're dealing with a directive that's been rejected by more than 90% of SMEs dealing with software in Europe. It's a monopoly directive. A directive which is illiberal. A directive which could usher in a world of Rockefeller and the huge cartels of the last century. It doesn't help those small companies which are trying to grow, often in some of the less developed areas of Europe, in Extremadura, in Spain, for example, where there are hundreds and hundreds of software companies trying to grow. These are now all under threat. Or in Poland, or in all of the enlargement companies, all of these software companies are under threat. A lot of things that are totally deceptive have been said. It's said that we're against technical software patents. That's not true. We are, of course, in favour when you're dealing with a car or a washing machine. No one's against patents for devices such as those. But we are against patents which genuinely threaten the flow of information and threaten innovation. A lot of people have been talking about innovation. People are confusing innovation with the ability to patent ad infinitum. They've got nothing to do with one another. We're talking about developing industry. That's what we want to see. And this directive will simply put obstacles in the way of genuine innovation in Europe, information and innovation that we so desperately need. We deserve a world which is tailored for consumers and is open for genuine innovation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Grazie, signor Guidoni, alla parola.
Thank you, Mr. Guidoni, for 1.5 minutes, please.
As regards the common position, it says that it will exclude patentability of software as such, but we will have the algorithms patentable, and that means that we will have protection for the whole program, and this would allow for a monopoly on the use of these types of programs on the algorithm. There's a complex program that's similar to thousands of combinations, and this could in fact prevent the many Linux or Linux, which is used also by public administrations, will lead to more than 800 American patents. And this means that this would be the end of free software and open source material in Europe. So the patentability of software, which is what the multinationals want in Europe, because it will simply be in the favor of monopolies from the United States. And this means that we will put an end to innovation, and there will also be a lack of legal security. And this is relevant to the SMEs, because they will not be able to pay for legal action. So there will be less competition, less innovation, and the consumers in Europe will simply have higher costs and lower choice. So we've seen a model, an economic model, which shows what competition and solidarity is worth in Europe. But the Council, in fact, is going in the very opposite direction. With this directive, they're attacking free movement of knowledge, and they're also, in fact, going against an information society in for the benefit of everybody. So the patentability of software has become a battle of freedom and democracy. Thank you.
Grazie.
Thank you very much indeed. Mr. Blokland, 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, President. We have before us a bill on the patentability of software to improve the current practice, which is far from optimal. There are different views on the question of whether or not software should be patentable, but the situation is not very clear, and therefore it's quite understandable that we should want new legislation in this area. The question is whether this common position will give us a balanced solution that would be desirable for both small and large companies. Many people find it difficult to determine whether or not this directive might promote or indeed act as an obstacle to innovation in small businesses. It could, after all, cause unexpected side effects and adverse side effects for small innovative businesses. There are three aspects that are of great importance to these businesses. The first is accessibility of patent applications. There's no solution in the directive here to the high costs involved in applying for a patent. Secondly, the extent to which small and medium-sized businesses can protect themselves if they have a patent, which maybe that a bigger company will violate that patent. Is it practically possible for them in practical terms to keep on monitoring whether such violations are taking place? Then there's the do they have the means to defend themselves if they are accused of violations of others' patents? The directive here brings with it the risk of too much legal interference in software innovation process. Then there's the high costs involved if for small businesses if they want to use software which has a patent and a patent holder, therefore. So what effect might this directive have on software, open source software? The European Parliament, by means of its amendments, has tried to tackle these difficulties, but the Council did not like our amendments, and at the moment this document is not sufficiently convincing. And it doesn't seem clear that Council is willing to review what it's done up to now. Thank you.
Signor Angelilli,
Mrs. Angelilli, 1 minute and a half.
Presidente, thank you, President. Innovation and research should be a shared heritage and not a privilege for the few. We should therefore stress that we should prevent software patentability as such. This crucial principle should be used to achieve a fair directive that is better than untrammeled patentability, which will paralyse competition, and the need to protect those whose inventions could genuinely provide added value in the market. Also, we want patentability requirements to be evaluated with great care, remembering that such requirements should be novelty, originality and applicability to industry. That's the only way to stop these patents from mushrooming to the detriment of SMEs. And there are already patent wars going on for 15 years in the United States. We want to stop that from happening over here. We need to provide financial, technical and administrative support to help SMEs who are looking towards patentability or patents. And also, more important, it's crucial that we have a proper European patent system to guarantee fair equality of access to SMEs. Thank you. Thank you, says the President. Mr. Romagnoli, for 1 minute, please.
Presidente.
President, colleagues, we will see that information technology and its new ideas will be necessary in order to be able to develop in the area. But by having patents for software, we will see a block, and it will just be in the interest of large capital companies. We will see generic development, which is the result of exploitation of the market, and it's going to be very dangerous. But we will see with just their interpretation, and that's simply mean that we will be the hostages of Microsoft and their allies, and this will affect, for example, public administration. And this is a question of developing software at the source, and it's harmful to communication systems in Italy and Europe. And we also see that SMEs and micro companies affected, and we will see the diversification of information system administrations will also suffer. And the free choice of scientific research and so on will be disappearing. And this will affect the basic rights of individuals, and we must therefore prevent that we have patentability of software in Europe, despite the directive which is going to introduce in, and therefore I think we should support the amendments by Mr. Rocard.
Thank you. Mr. Gargani, 3 minutes. Thank you, President. I'm speaking as Chairman of the Legal Affairs Committee, and therefore I think it is my duty, more than anyone else's, to congratulate Mr. Rocard on the work done, Mrs. Cowpie too, and Mr. Lena, and all of those indeed who have dedicated their efforts to this extremely difficult issue. In the Legal Affairs Committee, we've reached, struck a balance, a good and acceptable balance, appropriate to the cultural choices in the debate that has been carried on up to now here and in other places too. Now, of course, this point of balance I must defend because it's something that Parliament has achieved. Directive to harmonise the rules governing patentability of inventions, computer-implemented interventions, is intended to do away with the uncertainty arising out of differences in interpretation of existing regulations by the patent offices of the member states, and to make more precise the scope and extent of the protection provided. And I think that this is useful to anyone involved in this area, but in theory anyway, because in conclusion to our thinking in the Legal Affairs Committee, this directive may act as a stimulus to technological innovation if there are two aspects are resolved, two very important aspects. One is the ambiguity on the concept of a technological input, which would make the directive more effective if it were to be used to determine whether or not patents should be granted. Then there's a question of interoperability, which prevents standardised solutions. Well, the aim of this harmonisation cannot be achieved if we do not go along with the principles, or abide by the principles, that govern the existing patent system, which over the years has shown that they are an appropriate means of guaranteeing protection for businesses, large or small. Now that we have the computer science and telecommunications merging, it makes it easier for businesses to produce integrated packages and services, involving services and equipment. But this means that there is a need to guarantee that they can have two kinds of protection, copyright protection and protection of inventions as well, in other words, patent protection, without actually having to patent the software involved. So the conclusion, President, is that Europe's weak point is competitiveness, especially in these difficult times. This patent should help Europe and its citizens. If the directive is not clear, it will not help us, and we will not be fulfilling our duty under the Lisbon Strategy. The Commission, as I said, has done an excellent job because it started out from this common position. If Parliament goes a little further and improves and clears up the misunderstandings, that will be fine. But otherwise, the Commission should come up with a proposal which is transverse, covers all sectors, an overall proposal for all patents so that it can be satisfactory to both large and small businesses. I think that this might be heard as an appeal by Parliament to the Commission. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Medina Ortega for 2 minutes.
Muchas gracias, señor.
Thank you, President. Mr. Gargani, the previous speaker, showed his concern for a balance between the position that we adopt on the proposal for a directive. I think that the rapporteur, Mr. Rocard, and Mrs. Berger, in her Amendment 53, have stressed what this balance should be. Mr. Rocard and Mrs. Berger say we should carefully define the conditions for the granting of patents and the way to make certain that they are respected, in particular so as to maintain the inevitable consequences of a patent system, like the restriction of creativity and adverse effects to competitiveness, within reasonable limits. The Rocard-Berger amendment tries to achieve that balance. First of all, on inventions implemented by computers. We're not talking about computer inventions. Computer programs are already protected by a community directive which dates back from to 1991, which put together an intellectual property right or copyright, and that's still in force. We're talking about something completely different here. These are inventions that are aided by computers, as some amendments say, or implemented by computers. You have to be extremely careful not to mix the two together, because that would stop us from making progress in the field. That's why Amendment 50 is so important, tabled again by Mr. Rocard and Mrs. Berger, so as to maintain the right to interoperability in computer programs. We shouldn't stop, even if we patent them, the possibility of people from building on programs to develop matters further. And that's slightly different from the Mann, McCarthy, Rott, Berendt Amendment 68. You have to make sure that development and experimenting, making, granting of licenses, the selling, anything that provides patentability should not be regarded as infringing, or interoperability, sorry, should not be regarded as infringing on a copyright. We need to make certain that things like Linux and other programs developed in Extremadura in Spain should continue to flourish in the European Union. Thank you, President.
Gracias, señor Medina Ortega.
Thank you, Mr. Medina.
Now the floor is given to Mr. Prodi, 2.5 minutes.
The next speaker will be...
Señor Presidente.
Thank you, President. Patents are an important element of technological progress, but we should take them back to the original situation where it's a sort of agreement between the inventor and society. They have a temporary protection of their innovation, and this means that they will in fact they also have to provide a full disclosure of the content of the patent, which is basis for further progress indeed. We need to discuss how certain patents are presented, because I think we are moving towards sort of a vagueness in order to be able to have very broad claims in the patents. And this means that the legal offices are benefiting from the situation, and this is at the cost of society as such. We must stress that with respect to software in particular, because many patents are in fact just a very vague description of a logical process. For software, I think that the protection of the author's right, the copyright in fact, should be sufficient. Therefore, I have supported a number of the amendments by Rocard, and I think they also have the full support of the rapporteur. And I think we could, shorten the period of protection. But if we are aiming at stronger protection than patent protection, then we simply have to have a full description of the invention. And this should be a binding basis for claims. This also applies generally in order to ensure we have legal certainty. So I think that Parliament should in fact be stronger here, because we should also formulate a common position with respect to the EPO. I personally favour a reform which will simplify the procedures with the adoption of a single language, English, with rules that would also apply SMEs to use this very basic instrument. Thank you very much indeed.
And now the floor is given to Madam Harms, 1 minute.
Thank you, President. Now, I'm bound to say that this whole discussion about software patents in this House, to a great extent, is in contradiction, and this is largely due to the efforts of Commission and Council, to the mantra we've been hearing from the European institutions, which is that we must do everything to defend the interests of small and medium-sized businesses. In Europe, we have a situation in the software industry is that it is based on rules, perfectly adequate rules on copyright, engineering, and indeed patents in some areas, and as a result they have been able to develop very successfully. So why do we need these new rules at all? There's too much discussion about over-regulation, as I see it, ladies and gentlemen. If we really want to have software patents here, and if you really want software patents, all we're going to do is going to help a small number of large businesses, probably Microsoft and SAP, American, or perhaps a German one, Siemens. But apart from that, we will be harming the vital interests of so many small and medium-sized businesses, which have been so successful in the last few years. To conclude, the software patent regulation we're talking about here could be a very good way of creating jobs, but only for lawyers who will have an awful lot to do if we do what we're being asked to do today.
Danke, Frau Harms.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Agnoletto, 1 minute 30.
Grazie.
Thank you, President. Over and above the official statements, Article 2 has a variable in it which would make sure that software contained in a technical instrument would also be patentable. That's crucially important in the whole directive. It'd be possible to note to patent scales or notes, and suddenly blues, if a pentatonic scale could be patentable, would suddenly be covered by patents and people would start demanding royalties. People are trying to patent ideas. clicking on a mouse to carry out an action. All sorts of things that are used in pretty well all computers and all software people are trying to patent. If interoperability is going to be blocked by patents on programs and consumers are forced to purchase properties from one company only, the economic impact on this will be huge. No one should be allowed to build a monopoly through patented software. A small company would have to put up with enormous expense so as not to violate someone else's patent, and secondly, to defend their rights in court. It's not a market issue, it's going to be a legal issue. Research institutes, hospitals, labs, who are now carrying out research, saving money on software because they use put together by their own institutes and is therefore free, would be forced, thanks to this directive, to spend a lot more money buying software from, say, Microsoft. Low-cost software stimulates innovation, it creates jobs. The Harvard Business Review said that patents are a smart bomb. If they start destroying worlds and cultures, they will do so thanks to this directive.
Grazie, signor Enoretto. Procedura in corso.
And now the floor is given to Madame Sinnott, 2 minutes.
Software programming is of enormous importance to my constituents in Ireland, so much so that I've received literally bags of correspondence asking me to vote one way or the other. Understanding the nuance and repercussions of our decision is certainly not an easy task. Today what we are talking about, to put it simply, is the ownership of ideas. In software, the great ideas of yesterday are the building blocks of the great ideas of tomorrow. These ideas can be used by all to further the science and to drive progress. One of the beauties of the software industry is that a lone programmer can sit down and write an interesting program. He can give it to others in exchange for a fee, or he can put it on the open source domain where everyone is free to use it and to add to it. By its nature, what he has done is straightforward, and millions of people do exactly what he has done. That is what has driven innovation to date and has propelled the information society and the state of art forward. How much innovation do you think will occur if that lone programmer needs to contract a team of patent lawyers? If we here today decide, or tomorrow decide, to add patentability to software, programmers all over Europe might be breaking the law without even knowing they were doing so until it was too late. If we allow patents, how much of the creativity and freedom to think will be stifled by the fear of infringement of one of the hundreds of thousands of patents that will exist? Patents that are registered or bought and that will control the very tools that the programmer must use to exist as a programmer. I urge deputies to support every amendment that retains freedom from patentability. This will give us the strongest position when we negotiate with Council. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Libicki, 1:30. Thank you very much, Mr. President. As a doctor should not act to the detriment of the patients, the European Parliament should not act to the detriment of its societies. We should protect liberty and freedom in economic activity. The question is, do we need any regulation in this case? If for the past several years we have witnessed enormous progress as regards programming and software, do we need today introduce certain regulations, strict regulations, since it's been going so well so far? Why destroy it? The progress is obvious, and now any new regulation will hamper it. Competitiveness is very important. It's the motor engine of economic success. We have huge corporation on the one hand who have field for new explorations, etc. Yes, it's true, but when a new corporation gains monopoly, then very often we see major stagnation and slowdown. It doesn't matter who owns the monopoly. Monopoly is no good for economic development. So we should be extremely cautious when we vote on this, when we vote on the amendments, not to lead to monopoly, which will be detrimental. So let's remember about this. What creates economic success? We have to remember about SMEs, about small and medium-sized enterprises. We should not hamper the progress, especially for the consumers, because it will be no good for all of us. We are here to protect liberty and economic success, and not stagnation and slowdown. Thank you.
Dziękuję panu, panie pośle.
Thank you very much. And now the floor is given to Mr. Kozlik. 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. President, distinguished members of the Parliament. We can adopt only a directive which sets out clear criteria for us to be able to distinguish patentable innovations from those that are not patentable, and a directive which ensures efficient protection of these inventions in the member states of the EU. The directive should prevent non-patentable objects from being patentable, such as trivial non-technological procedures or trading methods or software as such. I'm referring to those amendments in particular, according to which the computer-implemented invention should be replaced with the term computer-controlled invention or computer-assisted invention. These amendments define the term technical contribution in more precise terms, amendments which include precise definitions that enable us to judge the technical inventions as such, and also amendments which speak about software on carriers. Otherwise, we should not support the directive. Thank you very much.
Dziękujemy, pan Kozlik.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Meyer. 2 minutes.
President,
thank you very much. It's been said that this is one of the most disputed pieces of legislation, but that would only be the case if the majority were against. But the situation is the reverse. A large majority of Parliament favours the objective of the legislation, no patentability for pure software. That is the basis, but we can simply protect software through copyright. But it means there's no protection for individual lines, but it's going to be a whole. It's like a book where you can't have copyright on just a few lines, but on the book as a whole. But what we need in our business is a patent, because what we need is it's a proof of scientific-based commerce, and there's claims with respect to inventive step and so on. Whether this is computer implemented or computer assisted, well, why do we need such legislation? We need it so that we don't get a situation like they have in the United States. We know that we have more than 30,000 patents for software, and we want to prevent that situation in the future. That's why we need this legislation. And, of course, we are providing security for ourselves, because we have the right of monitoring for the Commission, and the Commission has to report back in 3 years' time. Are there, in still fact, back doors where people are trying to make compromises? Well, if that's the case, the Commission needs to report on that. But also the open source movement must report, so that, in fact, we will be able to see in 3 years' time whether we can close any loopholes. So the matter has not been settled yet, not just because we still have to agree with the Council, but simply because in the future we must see the way this legislation is being used, and on the basis of the application of legislation, we must have a right to introduce more rules in 3 years' time. Thank you.
Proszę o zabranie głosu panią McCarthy.
Madam McCarthy, 2 minutes.
Thank you. We have the opportunity to lead the world, I believe, with good patent law, but are we up to the task? The legal framework is clear. Article 52 of the European Patent Convention states that software as such cannot be patented, and all of us believe that we must set clear limits to patentability. We simply don't agree on how best to do that. We need to tighten up the law and ensure that examination practice does not permit the patenting of software or business methods. But let us not forget that it is our inventiveness and capacity for innovation in software-dependent technologies that can help Europe to meet its objective of being the world's most competitive economy by 2010. At a time when our traditional industries are migrating to China and the Far East, we have to rely on our inventiveness to earn our living. The revenue secured by patents and licensing out our inventions to our global competitors gives us a return on the investment and assists us in creating jobs and growth. SMEs who are inventors argue that without patent protection, they are in no position to negotiate with big business or protect themselves from larger companies ripping off their inventions. They need patent protection that's affordable and enforceable against industry giants. But we also must ensure that small software developers are not faced with a minefield of trivial patents. They must be able to innovate, write and develop lines of code and produce software processes without violating or breaking patent law. I believe there are a number of amendments that can solve this problem, so we can have a balanced, workable EU law, which will not permit backdoor patenting, but will ensure that in an increasingly cutthroat and global arena, Europe's most inventive companies can have access to patents and challenge US dominance in this field. Mr. Crowley said that we could find ourselves in the perverse situation of paying out license fees to US and Japanese companies for the very patents and innovations that we have invented. In fact, add India to that list. In the new Patents Act in 2005, India now allows embedded systems to be patentable. Are we seriously saying that here in Europe we value
could
our
you slow down, please?
Less than those countries new
are not
to innovation
following.
And inventions? What's wrong? Okay.
Thank you, Mrs. McCarthy. And now the floor goes to Mr. Andrew Duff. 1 minute.
President, Parliament faces a great strategic challenge to create a regulatory framework that will stop the spread of patentability of software. Tactically, our first task tomorrow must be to defeat the simplistic proposals to reject the second reading. We must ensure that we are able to progress steadily to amend the common position. It is simply through the conciliation procedure that a first-class piece of law will be created. To fail to legislate at all would leave the industry to the mercy of the EPO, the courts and the panels of the World Trade Organization. I'm afraid that that would be a costly, legalistic and confusing situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duff. Proszę o zabranie głosu pana.
And the floor is given to Mr. Van Wittenen. 1 minute.
The way this bill on software patents has been produced is a scandal, as I see it. Big businesses like Microsoft have formed a business software alliance in order to help to write this commission proposal. This was found out by chance because somebody forgot to delete the author's name from a document. So the people running patent offices, the patent lawyers of big businesses, and the people responsible for patents in the European Commission have determined what the content of this bill will be. The European Parliament in 2003 took corrective action, but the Council of Ministers, by means of dubious voting procedures, got the proposal back on the table. There was no qualified majority of member states, and the attempts by some other member states to start negotiations were swiftly denied. In the Netherlands too, the whole software patent business is very dubious. The the government and the Dutch representatives and EU decision-making bodies are not saying the same thing. So I support the proposals, that, the amendments that reject this proposal in the European Parliament would look ridiculous. It looks ridiculous, I think, because it tolerates the way that this whole thing was first produced. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Van Buitenen. Proszę o zabranie głosu.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Mayer. 1 minute.
Voorzitter.
Thank you, President. In 1991, Microsoft was a small business and was having trouble because of the big business. Then Bill Gates said that the industry would come to a halt if patents were required on ever new knowledge. Unlimited amounts could be demanded of newcomers. Now that Bill Gates is one of the big players, he's telling a very different story. We are opposed to software patents, and the people who are opposed to them have stamina and good arguments. They've set up a foundation for a free information infrastructure, and they say that software patents are a threat to the freedom of businesses that develop softwares. This is a threat to innovation. It encourages monopolies and high prices. Internet shops, schools, consumers, everyone will be affected. And do we want a situation in which computers are simply handed over to have only one or two potential suppliers of software? So we need to amend or reject this directive. And I call upon all opponents of software patents to be here and to opt for open source and creativity instead of concentrations of power and monopolies. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Proszę o zabranie głosu.
Now the floor is given to Hans Peter. 1 minute.
Danke, Herr Vorsitzender.
Thank you very much, President. I would like to turn to those who are not here today, the 450 million Europeans, those who are outside the door. And they have been worrying through emails, faxes, and telephone calls. I think that's great. And I think that today and tomorrow we see an important event for the democracy and the future of Europe, because people are concerned about their situation, and we've heard the many arguments that have been put forward. We see a lot more detail than, in fact, we have been able to produce ourselves on what we're deciding. 5,500 amendments and additional votes throughout the five-year period cannot be ignored, but what we received was good. It has convinced me, I am convinced, that democracy and SMEs and the economic welfare, in fact, will be affected when we vote here. And I think that those who are wearing T-shirts outside should stick to their guns. We should, in fact, work until we see what's being voted tomorrow. Then we see whether, in fact, people have followed their conscience or the lobbyists. Thank you.
Danke, Herr Martin. Proszę zabranie.
And now the floor is given to Madam Thyssen.
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Thank you, Voorzitter.
Thank you, President. President, the insistence that this bill, which we are debating, will affect small and medium businesses and will be bad for them, is something I contest. More legal certainty, uniform application of the rules of the internal market, those, after all, are goals that we'd all benefit by, particularly small businesses. I've always believed, and I'm still convinced, that the small businesses, I don't have specific problems with this particular bill. What they have is a general problem with the patent system as such, and with access to it and defence of their patents. In the first reading, we voted for an amendment here calling upon the Commission to check the effect on small businesses of patentability of computer-implemented inventions. And in my first speech on that occasion, I asked the Commission how it can ensure through a European approach that small businesses get a better deal on patents. And now I'm looking through the Rocard report and I see four amendments again which call upon special attention, which call for special attention for small and medium sized businesses. There are a lot of small business organisations that think that this is not enough. They don't believe in paying lip service to things anymore. They want to see some results and some facts, and that's why I want to ask you this. Why has the Commission, since it knows about these concerns among small businesses, has known about them for at least 2 or 3 years, why has it not undertaken anything practical to help small businesses? There's enough raw material, since there are already tens of thousands of patented computer-implemented inventions around Europe. What is the Commission going to do for the small businesses? What are you thinking of doing for them? I'd like a very clear answer to that, President, because my question expresses the concern of many small businesses, and your answer, Commissioner, will help to determine how I vote on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Proszę o zabranie głosu.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Gierek. 2 minutes.
Panie Przewodniczący.
Mr. President, dear members, the directive proposed by the Commission and Council is unacceptable for many reasons, mainly because in Article 4 it says no to patents for software, but it goes on in Article 5 to open the doors for such a procedure if it would apply to the so-called computer invention using the software. So what is it all about? I think it's about a major software market in the EU and monopoly on this market. We're talking about several dozen billion euros. The threat, if we do not change the directive, well, first of all, monopoly on the software market in the hands of very strong companies, also outside Europe, from outside Europe, which is very dangerous for Europe. Secondly, many SMEs, small and medium-sized enterprises with deal with software will have to close the business. And another thing, basically, for many services, for instance internet services, will be changed forever. And finally, fourthly, major threat for European democracy, because internet is a major media tool. The proposal presented by Mr. Rocard, who has done a very good job as a rapporteur, because the issue is very complex, he was protecting the open source principle, he was protecting democracy against monopoly, which is also very good, and at this legislative stage, leading to the so-called conciliation procedure would be right, because it would give us the right solution. Software, just like mathematical formula, cannot be subject to patents. But what can be subject to patents are inventions which were created using computers. Obviously, they would have the so-called independent claims of technical nature, which would give reference to so-called material solutions, and dependent claims, particular only to a given solution, for instance, to a given computer and all aspects of its functioning. So, talking about innovation, for instance, for the car industry or white goods industry or mobile telephony industry, we know that we need some structuring here. Thank you.
Proszę o zabranie głosu.
Thank you very much. And now the floor is given to Madam Drczar. 1 minute.
U patentnym prawu je izum predmet.
Thank you, Chairman. In patent law, inventions enjoy legal protection of its own kind. What we are protecting is not the tangible embodiment of a certain idea, but the idea itself, the concept. Therefore, an invention is always something intangible. This dual nature, of course, makes it very difficult in real life, where we have to consider the interests and rights of software developers. The problem, therefore, lies in the fact that you have, on the one hand, companies who would like to use patent law to protect their investments in research and development, but on the other hand, you have companies and individuals who are striving to retain the area of so-called intellectual commons accessible to everyone. As legislator, we have to take a clear stand on those who believe that this borderline is penetrating the area which traditionally enjoyed patent protection, and those who, on the other hand, believe believe that the common position of the Council does not completely rule out the possibility of patenting software. I view most amendments of the Legal Committee as a helpful improvement of the common position and a good basis for a final decision. Thank you.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Schleiter. I'm sorry, to Mr. Czarnecki. 1 minute. Mr. Czarnecki.
Panie Przewodniczący.
Mr. President, honourable members, it's a very important day for the European Parliament because today we have a chance to prove that the European Parliament is really representing millions of European citizens. It's the time when we can protect and fight for interests of millions of PC users as well as many SMEs. This is something that we saw in millions of letters and emails that we have received. I think that finally the Civic Europe has decided that European citizens need the European Parliament. So let us not be proponents or lobbyists for huge corporations. Let's be proponents of grassroots and let's avoid wrong decisions of European institutions. It's not so much about patents for software. It's more about social pressure, pressure which gives enormous opportunity for the European Parliament to be a true representative of European citizens, not only in beautiful words, but in practice. Let's use this opportunity. Thank you very much, Mr. Czarnecki. And now the floor is given to Madam Erika Mann. 2 minutes.
Pani Erika Mann.
Madam Erika Mann.
You have 3 seconds even. Sorry, because some
thank you so much.
I
know, sorry, it's not polite. Entschuldigung.
I beg your pardon. President, Commissioner, colleagues, I would like to point out, unlike a lot of my colleagues, that through the negotiations we have found a majority agreeing on wanting a patentability of computer-implemented innovations, and the strength of our companies depends on that. What is the situation now is that there are companies that want to have patents in this area and that they can do it, in fact. And the Commission has just pleaded in favor of more harmonization at the European level. And what we wanted to avoid as well, and I think also here colleagues agree, I think that we do not want to see an American development on patentability so that we see that software is patented as software. But what we want, to put it in very plain language, is software to hardware. But there is really a difficulty in getting a straightforward language for describing it, because I'd like to put this to the Commission. We have so many proposals, but how can we do this, for example, on the amendments for tomorrow? We are talking the amendments that have been tabled with respect to interoperability. We have the Rocard proposals, and we have also amendments from other colleagues. We have Piano Kaupi's amendment, and we have my amendment. And I would like to ask the Commission what its position is on all these various amendments, particularly with respect to forced licenses or the limitation exclusion when we're talking about software to software. Commissioner, maybe you would be kind enough to give your opinion on that. Thank you.
Vielen Dank, Frau Erika Mann.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Panella. 1 minute.
President,
already in the last Parliament, the Radical Party members of this House, working in particular with Mr. Cappato, were already confident of what the Parliament's position ought to be. It wasn't accepted. And now we're discussing the matter again, where everybody from the extreme right to the extreme left in our Parliament has spoken in ways that make me very happy as a Liberal, defending the market against the jungle that threatens to overwhelm the market. The jungle of bureaucracy, which the big monopolistic groups will bring in and use their legal or bureaucratic power and prevent others expressing the freedom of invention and the freedom of access to the market. If, Mr. President, Mr. Rocard's amendments and amendments tabled by Mrs. Bonino and myself are adopted, we will, I think, have a winning strategy. Otherwise, I agree with Mr. Duff in that in the conciliation procedure, we'll have to look just at the failure of Austria, Spain, Belgium and France to back the directive last year, but we should try to change the positions of the other institutions into a more liberal position. Thank you, President.
Grazie, signor Pannella.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Wuermeling. 2 minutes.
Yeah, Herr Vorsitzender.
Thank you, President. Commissioner, my dear colleagues. Now, in this room, we have talked about the importance of inventiveness, the spirit of the age, the assets of Europe in globalization. That's been said so often, but equally important, well, of course, we have to keep that spirit, but it's equally important that our ideas should not be stolen by others. Millions of euros can be invested in an invention, and then 3 months later, someone can imitate it, put it on the market, and the inventor does not get a just reward for his efforts or her efforts. So we must protect the weak. We must protect inventors against those who have power in the market, and the patent settles the fight between the power of the mind and the power of the market, and it does so in favour of the power of the mind, irrespective of whether the mind is that of a big or a small business. So, my dear colleagues, as we've listened through this debate today and in previous weeks, I've been very dissatisfied. We've had overheated atmosphere. We've had a lot of lobbying, and to be honest, we're bound to say that although we've now reached the second reading, basically there is still a whole lot of things we have to decide on, positions, forms of words, and the effects of these we cannot really assess at this stage. There have been a number of amendments, many of them on Article 10, and it's very difficult to foresee what their effects might be. I have the impression that this issue is not yet ripe for decision, and we should really think about whether we shouldn't extend this legislative procedure by rejecting this proposal. I think that might be the most sensible decision we could take at this stage. Thank you.
Danke, Herr Wurmling. Proszę o zabranie.
Now the floor is given to Mr. Herzog. 2 minutes.
Tisztelt elnök úr, tisztelt képviselőtársaim! Élénk érdeklődéssel figyeltem a CIA iránytervezetét.
Thank you. I too saw with much interest the debate on the patentability of software. It's important. In fact, I think it's one of the most important proposals that's ever been put before this Parliament. And throughout my career as a Member of Parliament here, or nationally, I've never seen a proposal that was so ill understood. We've heard all this talk about Microsoft, Linux, small businesses, national interests, open source codes, and copyright, and we've lost sight of the essential, and that is Lisbon, the knowledge-based society, that we should be able to protect the knowledge that we have brought about. And the patent is the best way of doing that. Europe should be ashamed that we still don't have a European patent. That is vital if investment is to lead to profit and employment. In this area of regulations governing patents, we must do something to ensure that protection of knowledge is redefined in line with the situation in the 21st century. It's naive to believe that this debate is something entirely new or qualitatively different from previous legislation. Patents on software are not a revolution. They're simply recognition of the fact that our society is based on digitally expressed information and is such part and parcel of our daily lives to the extent that without them we wouldn't understand technology at all. Mr. Dokar has been an excellent job and we owe him our gratitude. He reformulated the context of the directive, and that was a good job, and it's not his fault if we haven't gained by that. He's done everything he could. We need some kind of patent on a directive on patents on computer implemented interventions. Without it, Europe's businesses will not be able to cope in today's world. There are other ways of protecting innovation, it's true, but the patent is the way to forge a link between the invention and its commercial exploitation, and that allows the economic factor in. So we must not lose this solution, because only a strong European patent will be able to preserve the European values that we all are here in this Parliament to represent. Thank you.
Köszönöm, Asanyom. Proszę o zabranie głosu.
And now the floor is given to Madam Toya. 1 minute.
Signor Presidente.
President, there are two worlds that at the moment are asking for the European institutions to have a capacity to show an open and more flexible strategy on something as important as this for the development not only the economy but society, and they're asking for corrections compared to the common position because they want to have greater openness and flexibility. This is very important for the future of Europe, small and medium size in prices, and for the young. The SMEs have already been mentioned by many colleagues, and I agree that we must have more flexibility for them, and we want to see less stiffness in the patentability directive, because it could be an obstacle for SMEs. It could be an anti-competitive weapon for these against these people. And I think the young people, there are very few areas we have discussed here that has in fact led to such mobilization and movement amongst the young. And there are associations that use software not just to communicate but to learn, but also simply as an activity to be self-employed. It's used in charity, it's used in new professions and so on, and there are many who are very independent in this field. It is important for our society because we need to have a more open economy and in fact allowing for the young people to organize themselves. We've always said that Europe is on the side of the young, but today we have an opportunity, and I hope that we don't waste it here in Parliament, to show that we are on the side of the young. They have talked to us, because it's very impressive that we've seen such a movement, and I think that we should not waste this opportunity in the Parliament. Therefore, we have the ROCAR and DAF and other amendments that, in fact, should give more clarity, more certainty with respect to the common position that applies to Europe, because we want to have clarity on two points. The software should not be patentable, and we must also extend the application area, because it means that we will have an opening that we don't have in the premises, because it's very important that we have protection, but we cannot have a rigidity and leaving things in a few hands, basically it'll be against the development of innovation in Europe.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Stubb for 2 minutes.
Dziękuję, Mr. President. I think 3 years ago, if someone asked anyone here in this room, do you know what a computer-implemented invention is, most of us would have probably said, well, not really. You all saw the demonstrators outside today. Some of them were a little bit aggressive. One of them jumped right in front of our car, and a computer-implemented invention called ABS brakes, I think, probably saved his life. I think this has been an ongoing story. There have been many very interesting turns in the plot. First of all, there's a dramatic first reading in the European Parliament. Secondly, there's a total rejection of our position in the Council. Thirdly, there's a refusal by the Commission to go back into the first reading. Fourthly, we have a dubious common position from the Council. And now, fifthly, we stand at the end of the second reading. And just like Mr. Vermeuling said, I'm afraid we are facing a situation whereby this piece of legislation will be rejected tomorrow. And I don't know if it's good or bad, but I know two things and I have two messages. One message is to the David Group, in other words, the open source and SMEs. I think this would have not been such a bad thing, after all, had we worked it through. It would not have prevented the open source from going on. It would not have, and I can say this as a Finn, prevented Linux from being invented and developed. To Goliath, or to the bigger companies, I can say, get your act together. The lobbying that you did was miserably bad. The open source folk beat you, hands down, by 100-0. Now, the question then is, what does this mean institutionally? Well, institutionally, I have a message to the Commission and to the Council. The European Parliament is a co-legislator. You should take it seriously. And when you see this proposal being rejected tomorrow morning, you should go back to the drafting board and come up with a new piece of legislation, because I think Europe needs some form of patentability on computer-implemented inventions. But tomorrow, we ain't going to get it. Thank you.
Kitos, herra. Proszę o zabranie głosu pana.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Lehtinen for 2 minutes.
Herra puhemies.
Thank you, President. The lively debate on this directive is a sign that democracy works. Just yesterday, in the train coming to Strasbourg, petitions were being thrust into the hands of passengers, and there's been a flood of email on the subject. One frequent side effect of lively debate is that issues are taken out of context, and that's what's happened here too. Software without any technical outcome should not become patentable. The excellent idea of open source codes will not die out after this directive comes into force anyway. I can make this claim because I'm from the same country as the Linux system. On the contrary, the failure of this directive may be a new blow to Europe's competitiveness. There won't be much left of the Lisbon Declaration if we vote this directive down. The dichotomy between small businesses and big bad multinationals is artificial and exaggerated. Businesses have a shared interest in obtaining legal and operational certainty for their actions, whether they are large or small. And a lot of small businesses in my home country of Finland have been in touch with me and told me they'll benefit by this directive. The Software Patent Directive would protect their innovations and at the same time protect them against bigger companies. The big companies will always get along, even if there are no rules, but clear rules are a benefit to the little fish too. I don't agree with those who are opposed to patents as a principle, President. Patents are part of Europe's heritage. They're a modern, effective cornerstone of the market economy. They give operational certainty and afford protection against piracy. Why shouldn't we patent computer-implemented inventions which improve all our day-to-day lives? I'm thinking here. At this moment, there is no common patent law in Europe, and that causes an uncertain field of operations for businesses and investors. We need good, open patent legislation, if only for the sake of employment. I hope this will not be another example of Europe shooting itself in the foot to the detriment of its own competitiveness.
Kiitos, Herra Lehtinen.
And now the floor is given to Madam Malmström for 1 minute.
Tack, herr talman.
Thank you very much, President.
I think we have
lobbying from olika grupper.
This is a very complex issue we're dealing with, and I think that people should be aware of what we're doing. And it's very important to have a good patent system in Europe. Individual inventors and companies must, of course, be able to patent anything they invent, also data, computer-related inventions. But we see that software is also given patents today, and that is not a good idea. We need researchers and inventors and people developing individual programs, developing new ideas without, in fact, ending up in legal disputes over patents. But we could just reject the whole proposal because we could ask the Commission to get a full overall proposal, a community patent that covers all inventions. And we could just take out software patents as a separate area. But we must certainly change the common position, which is a very poor legislative text there. It's too difficult to understand, and I think through the amendments of Mr. Rocard, I think we can very good rules for all sizes of companies. Thank you very much.
Tak så mycket. Proszę o zabranie głosu pan.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Zatloukal for 2 minutes.
Vážený pane předsedající, vážený pane komisaři, kolegyně, kolegové. Málo která směrnice vzbudila tak vzrušenou debatu jako tato.
Thank you very much. It's been a very interesting discussion on this subject. Every one of us has focused very closely on this directive. The Directive on Patentability of Inventions, computer-implemented inventions, is part of a dynamic European economy. Unfortunately, there's some ambiguity in some of the definitions regarding software programs and so on. There's no way, while we can see some use for patents for a whole program or a whole software package, we can't see any use for them for individual ideas or thoughts. I'm not against patents in general, but I would like to speak in favour of some of the ideas in the directive, though not necessarily the way they are expressed in Council's version. There is, as I say, ambiguity that has crept in as a result of the choice of terminology. We have to invest in resolving these problems. I think it's regrettable that Council has ignored some of our amendments to this resolution in its first reading of it. I think we should support the ideas that Parliament originally tried to put into it. I think that we must promote cooperation between the institutions and respect for this institution. I'd like to thank in particular all those involved, but in particular our group shadow rapporteur Pian Rakau.
Děkuji, pan Zatloukal, pro zabrání głosu.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Montalto, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The debate on computer implemented innovations has been an interesting debate, a passionate debate, but unfortunately, most of the contributors have either taken a black or a white position. Everybody realizes that this is an extremely complex issue. Referring to it in biblical terms does not help, because it continues to put into compartments the various arguments. On the one side, without repeating, we have heard that if this directive, if we do not vote on the side of patents in general, this is going to stifle innovation, this is going to make Europe less competitive, this is going to go against what we have been trying to achieve through the Lisbon Agenda. On the other hand, we have heard that if we do have a regulation of patents, this would add to bureaucracy, this would affect the consumer, and we have also heard that it will be a threat to democracy by one speaker. I personally believe that we have to view the whole issue in terms of a global plane. First of all, it is useless for us to concentrate in Europe on this particular aspect without taking the whole aspect of patents into consideration. Secondly, the position of Europe within a global world. It is useless if we legislate and, on the other hand, we are not part of an international legislative structure which encourages other continents and developing or developed countries to participate on a plane, an international plane. Thank you very much.
Grazie, signor. Proszę zabranie głosu.
And now the floor is given to Mr. Coveney for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to speak on this debate. This is a complex and technical issue, and I want to thank the rapporteur and the shadow rapporteur in particular from my group for the work that she's done on it. Anyone who has been subject to the lobbying by both sides on this debate will have heard convincing arguments for and against the common position proposed. There are a number of points that I'd like to make in the brief time available. Firstly, it should be stressed that the Patents Directive is not proposing the introduction of a new patent system into the EU, but instead harmonising and bringing consistency to patent offices throughout different member states. Whatever your position on patents, one must agree that the current situation, which allows 25 national patent offices with a lack of a consistent approach between them, does not contribute to an integrated and functioning common market moving forward. However, it's true that the software and IT industries in the EU have been thriving in recent years with the current position. So why do we need a common approach? SMEs in particular seem to be split on this issue. Some people have decided to create the impression that this is an issue pitching the large multinationals against small SMEs. This is not the case, from my experience. SMEs very much fall on both sides of the argument, some wanting to protect their ideas and their inventions, and others fearing a patents minefield with the common position that is proposed. And nobody in this House wants to vote for a situation that will in any way harm the future thriving of SMEs. There are two keys to this directive that I want to focus on briefly. First of all, the definition
of what we are proposing to allow patents on. We are not proposing the patenting of software as in the US, and that should be stressed. And if amendments need to be accepted to clarify this point, well then so be it, although I think the current wording isn't bad. Copyright is there to protect software. Secondly is the issue of interoperability. This is a key question, and indeed, in my view, the Arlene McCarthy amendments in this area are worth supporting. We must ensure that equipment or networks that are required for multiple users to allow innovation function are not held from the market. In particular, this is the case for open source and the open source movement, which has been so successful in recent years. In conclusion, can I say, people are beginning to take a very pessimistic approach at this stage, and I think on balance the overall proposal is likely to be rejected tomorrow, and I think that will spell a very serious failure of the institutions to find common ground and agreement on what is a very important area for the European economy generally.
Thank you, Mr. Coveney.
And now the floor is given to Madam Kudrycka for 2 minutes.
Panie Przewodniczący.
Mr. President, the legal status as regards software has been defined for a long time. Software is protected with copyright. European Convention on Patents excludes patents for software. So those who engage in theory and those who engage in practice are against the change of the status quo. The practice of the European Patent Office, which is to be sanctioned by the directive of the Council, is not right because the directive is not right and dangerous. So on behalf of Mr. Buzek and on my own behalf, I would support all the entire package of amendments which bring back the sense of the directive which it had in the first reading, or to reject the entire directive. As the European Parliament said in February this year, patents are in a way dangerous as regards the social acceptance for the patent system as a useful tool for encouraging progress. So it's actually a job for the European Parliament to say no or to say stop in such a situation. There is no need to cover software with patent law. The key argument here in favour of this law was protection of investments. The so-called material innovations require many trials and many examples of venture capital before we can reap some profits. Very often the profits are very low or sometimes even unnoticeable. So in such situations we don't need an extra protection. It's not true that patents for software as understood by European Patent Office is an opportunity. No, it actually brings enormous threats. That's why patents should be used with caution. There are many myths and many half-truths here. I would like to quote several. For instance, patents are always good for economy. No, it's a myth. Many officials are actually measuring innovation of economy by the number of patents. But patents can be bad for investments because they can limit and curb innovation. Many IT companies never sought or applied for patents. Hardly ever can you find an IT specialist who would seek such a procedure. No one can prove a link between patent expansion and economic expansion. Second myth, patents can help SMEs because with this, SMEs can have exclusive right to promote their own ideas. No, but patents also hamper. Small companies find it difficult to obtain protection because the cost of applying for a patent are very high, several hundreds higher than the actual profits. And another thing, you have to identify whether someone has perhaps had the same idea before, and it also costs a lot. So I believe that very often patents create a sort of a land minefield. Thank you.
Pani poseł.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Kudrycka. And now the floor is given to Mr. Zwiewka for 2 minutes.
Dziękuję bardzo, Pani Przewodnicząca.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, Mr. Commissioner, honorable members. The key responsibility for all EU institutions in the legislative process is to create a good and efficient piece of law. We have heard many times assurances that we have indeed such an approach. These words were said by the head of the Commission or representatives of individual presidencies. I believe that the European Parliament is a very important link in the entire process. The directive, the debate about which is closing actually today, is an example of practice which is totally different from the words that we have heard before. So both the Commission and the Council believe that their project is the only good project, and they actually reject all the voices from this House. I would like to believe that this procedure will change. I would like to believe that the interest of millions of citizens of Europe will prevail today, and also the interest of SMEs, who are very important here, and we have to remember this, because they create millions of jobs, actually for 90% of all employed in our continent. So we can't focus only on the on the interest of huge corporations. What raises enormous doubts is the split or the lack of split between a technical solution which can be patentable and a software, a piece of software, mathematical formula, mathematical concept or a method of, for instance, conducting business activity in retail trade. If this is the way it is, I believe that there are many doubts concerning the projects. For instance, the clause which says that software should be excluded as such, I think that this clause will create only illusions, just like the practice of the European Patent Office says. And you, Mr. Commissioner, in your opening words, you said that this directive would not create any changes to the practical actions taken by this European Patent Office. It is very worrying. I think that harmonization of the patent law also for the computer-supported inventions is very important, but this law has to be strong and good for the majority. Directive without amendments of Mr. Buzek and Mr. Rocard will further sanction too liberal approach to key issues related to inventions. So I appeal to you, colleagues, please accept the amendments which were presented by Mr. Rocard and Mr. Buzek. Thank you.
Dziękuję bardzo panu, panie pośle.
Thank you very much, and now the floor is given to Mr. Karas for 2 minutes. The floor is yours.
President, Commissioner, colleagues, after 2 hours of debate, has anybody now got the impression that we have a practical common position that we can adopt? Has anybody after this debate got the impression that this question, this difficult question, has been fully debated, that it is ready for a decision, that we have the necessary qualified majority in for a yes to for all the amendments? I believe not. And there's a reason for this, because in the first reading on the 24th of September 2004, there was nothing that was taken up. In fact, from the political aggression from the Council, Mrs. Kauppi said that the Council, in fact, wants to ignore the will of the European legislators, and the Council, in fact, is not certain about its position. On the 21st of 12th, the agenda, the item was taken off the agenda at the request of Poland. Germany, Spain and Netherlands and others, in fact, have opposed the directive in its present form. Votes were delayed all the time, and the European Parliament asked the Commission, in fact, during the first reading, to present a new proposal. And there's a decision from the Conference of Presidents and from the plenary in favour of a new draft. How did the Council react? Well, they simply banned any discussion, and this was to ensure that there was no debate. In fact, although the Nice Treaty has come into force, a political agreement, in fact, has simply decided. So the result is that with the composition, there is general dissatisfaction, and we have any number of amendments here. So, ladies and gentlemen, I agree that there are substantial reasons. I can mention the amendments, but this, in fact, is proof that there is no legal certainty from arising from the common position. And innovation, in fact, is worried now, and we are therefore doing well to reject the common position so that we work in favor of harmonization of the European patent law and based on sectoral regulations as a replacement of this disputed issue. Thank you.
Vielen Dank, Herr Karas.
Thank you very much, Mr. Karas.
Jordan Cizely, 2 minuty.
Thank you, Chairman. Dear colleagues.
Colleagues, a year has gone past.
It's been a year since I'm a member of the European Parliament, and the topic of software patentability is certainly one of the most important topics. I can say that in the discussion on this directive, many people have been involved, both from the country I represent, that is Slovenia, and from other European countries. It is from this point of view that the proposal has positive consequences, because you had so many citizens involved in the democratic process, and they were able to see that democratic institutions are not so distant from them after all. However, in the Parliament, it is not the citizens who decide instead of them or for them. It is us who decide. And what should we bear in mind when deciding on this directive? We should bear in mind that we have to follow the Lisbon strategy objectives if we want to respond to the globalization challenges. We have to take advantage of our competitive edge, and we should build on research and development as well as application in practice. We can encourage people to get involved only if we provide for adequate protection of intellectual property. This is why we have to be courageous enough, and we have to set in place a European system that will reward innovation. I am convinced that this is an adequate moment for the adoption of the proposed directive. However, when it comes to software patentability, I think it is right that the directive says that software remains beyond the scope of patent protection that is under copyright. I favor the directive to include basic definitions. Also, it is very important that due to the important role of SMEs in Europe, we should also monitor the effect of directive on the operation of SMEs. Thank you.
Hvala, gospo. Proszę o zabranie głosu pana Malcolma Harbour.
Thank you, Malcolm Harbour.
President, towards the end of what has been an interesting debate, I think it's actually time to get back to what we are talking about, the core of the matter. This is not an extension of existing patent law. It's not actually taking us into any new fields. The whole objective of this is to clarify the existing situation, because the current patent law is being applied in an inconsistent way. And companies who want patents in many cases don't know where they stand. They may actually get a patent from one country but not from another. At the same time, I think we are all agreed that we do not want to see the sort of patent regime that appears to be running very fast in the United States and others, where patents for what we might call relatively trivial inventions covering business methods or simple software which ought to be covered by copyright will not be covered. But I think what's really at issue, colleagues, is does this proposal in front of us actually achieve that? Put yourself in the position of a patent inspector, where you are having to make a judgment about whether to offer patents. I suggest to you that this wording and many of these wordings here are not only complex, difficult, opaque, but they actually go in entirely the wrong direction. And I think part of the problem is, and I sense it in a lot of the discussions around here, is that I think many colleagues are not accepting the fact that in almost every field of technological invention there is some form of digital technology involved. The notion of a computer aiding or controlling things is actually rather an outdated one. you carry in your mobile phone more computing power than a computer of 10 years ago, a large computer. And that is programmed by instructions. And it is perfectly sensible for companies that have technical innovations encompassing that software to be able to protect it. And I suggest to you, colleagues, that this is going in the wrong direction. It's not helping small businesses. It's not helping large businesses. It's not helping open source movement. And I think we really have to decide whether we have not actually failed completely in this and whether it's not time to start again.
Thank you, Mr. Harbour. Proszę o zabranie głosu panią Reutową.
Thank you, Mrs. Reutová has the floor, 2 minutes.
Dámy a pánové, ve veřejném zájmu zakazuje Evropská úmluva patentovat to, co...
Thank you, Chairman. We, in the European Union, are trying to come up with an agreement which deals with mathematical formulae, technicalities, and it looks at broad issues of intellectual property. In fact, about 20,000 applications have been submitted to the Patents Office for computer-implemented components for anything from washing machines on. And here we're talking about software and trade procedures, for example, buying online. Now, there are different interpretations of national patent offices. Unfortunately, up to now, we haven't had a modern directive in Europe on patents. The solutions that have been availed of up to now are not modern enough. And here we need to look at the implications for TRIPS. If you look at the academic community and small communities, and the opinion of the Czech Senate, they've said that the directive is not clear and that it could have major implications for consumers and SMEs. Unfortunately, no impact study for the impact on SMEs has been carried out, although the Parliament's called for such a study to be carried out. And here we've seen a coalition emerging across the political groups. Now, here, a number of amendments are supposed to allow for patent protection, but only for the invention as a whole. We want to simplify interoperability for consumers and avoid the patenting of trivial ideas. You know, it costs about 30,000 euros to get hold of a patent, and it's a process that takes about 4 years, and that is not good in terms of the dynamic development of the IT sector. 70 to 80% of jobs are jobs in SMEs, and this is why we want to sort out the issue of pure software. We'd like to ask the Commission to prepare a really modern proposal, because if we don't succeed in modifying the directive, the group as a whole will reject
it.
Thank you, Mr. Schluter has floor 1 minute.
Thank you, President. Today, what we've got is old-fashioned patent law with an old-fashioned view of large companies. We want to have modern, small-scale, creative solutions with modern legislation. Everyone maintains that they don't want to have software patents, that we've seen the catastrophe that ensued in the USA when such a patent system was introduced. And here, we've got a number of compromise amendments that myself and many others have signed up to. Now, here, we want to look at creativity and healthy patent laws. If you vote against, that means that you'll be putting yourselves completely in the hands of major companies. And here we'll be talking about legislation according to which programs which operate a system or guide a system would be patentable. So here, this would mean that even users' manuals would come under those provisions, and that's not modern. Thank you.
That's something good. Proszę o zabranie głosu pana komisarza Almunia.
Thank you. Commissioner, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Those of you who have been directly involved in working on this proposal
know that we are dealing with a very complex area. The directive cannot be turned on its head. What we need is a proper balance between stimulating innovation and making sure competition is not stifled. As Commissioner McGreevy said in his statement of last March 2005, the ball is in your court. Whatever you decide, the Commission will take account of it and respect it. Should you decide to reject the common position, the Commission will not submit a new proposal. Also, you should remember that rejection would stand in the way of many European undertakings and go against our common Lisbon objectives of increasing Europe's competitiveness. President, various members have raised during the debate the question of interoperability. On this issue, the Commission maintains a certain degree of flexibility. Compulsory licensing schemes are already present in Member States' legislation. It's a suitable solution, provided that no discrimination between different software development models, proprietary or open source, is ensured. Companies should be motivated to license voluntarily. However, if rights holders abuse their rights by imposing unreasonable conditions, authorities should step in to ensure fair terms are applied. A limited interoperability exception geared towards the promotion of open standards could also constitute a sound approach, provided that international obligations are respected. Various members have also raised copyright. And let me clarify that copyright is a separate and different right from patents. Copyright and patents protect different aspects of something which is new and original. So patents do not affect the existence of copyright. Copyright protects the expression of an idea, but it does not protect any invention. And copyright protection does not prevent someone taking an invention and expressing it in a different way.
Dear colleagues, may I ask you to take seats quietly? Commissioner is speaking. Please take your seats quietly. Thank you.
Thank you, President. With regard to small and medium-sized businesses and their access to their patent system, I should signal two aspects. First, members will be aware of the Commission's proposals for a community patent, which would reduce costs for patent protection across the whole of the European Union. And secondly, we have had a feasibility study done on the question of insurance against the cost of patent litigation. This study is now in a second phase, and consultants have been asked to come up with concrete proposals. President, in view of the high number of amendments tabled, we are providing the Secretariat with an overview of the Commission's position on them in writing for inclusion in the minutes of this debate. And finally, President, I hope that the vote will result in a positive outcome. However, should further work be necessary for finding an agreement with the Council, the Commission stands ready to assist both co-legislators towards reaching a constructive outcome. Thank you very much.
Muchas gracias, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner. The vote will take place Wednesday. That concludes the debate. Thank you very much.
Colleagues, let's start the vote. According to the agenda, we now vote. according to the simplified procedure on Mr. Dowell's report on the control of potato cyst nematodes. Let's vote. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Adopted. Next on the agenda is the vote according to, following the simplified procedure on the Costa report on the protocol to agreement on maritime transport with China. We now vote. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. Mr. Schultz, on a point of order. President, I have an acoustic problem. I hope you can hear me well, but we can't hear you so well. We want to hear every single syllable you utter, though, please. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. It would be dreadful if you couldn't hear me, so, colleagues, can we please have calm in the chamber? And can we speed up with a roll call vote?
Dann muss ich Sie bitten, im Moment noch den
Can I please ask you to put on your earphones and check that the technology is working and that you can, I can be heard everywhere in the chamber and I'm not just echoing. We now vote on the simplified procedure on the Florence report on the African Eurasian Migratory Waterbirds Agreement. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. Congratulations, Mr. Florence. Next on the agenda is the vote on the Wallace Report, a request for defence of the immunity and privileges of Mr. Umberto Bossi in the Civil Court of Padua. We now vote. Those in favour? Those against? Abstentions? I'd like to check that, please. We'll vote electronically on Mrs. Wallace's report on the waiving of Mr. Bossi's immunity. Those in favour? The electronic vote is open.
Die Abstimmung ist
The vote is closed.
200
in favour, 180 against, 24 abstentions. It is carried. Following the agenda, we now vote on the Lehner report on the request for waiver of the immunity of Mr. Ashley Moat. Let's vote. Point of order.
Herr Moat, sorry, colleague. Before you take the floor, I have to inform you that following our rules of procedure, it is not foreseen that you take the floor in that stage of the procedure. You had the opportunity following the rules of procedure to speak in the committee. You did that. And you send an email to everybody in the House concerning that today. And you have the possibility to give a personal explanation after the vote. But I'm afraid I cannot give you the floor at the moment following the rules of procedure. Sorry for that. If you want to change that, we have to change the rules of procedure. Colleagues.
We'll now vote on the Lehner report. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. Next on the agenda is the vote for second reading on the common position of the Council on phthalates in toys and childcare articles. The rapporteur is Mr. Trakatellis. We're looking at the common position. Block 1, compromise proposals. We'll vote on amendments 18 to 21. Roll call vote. The vote is open. The vote is closed. 487 in favour, 9 against, 10 abstentions, so we have achieved a qualified majority, therefore these amendments are carried. Block 2 falls. Let's vote on amendment 22. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We now vote on 23, those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. The common position as amended is now approved. Next on the agenda is Mr. Chichester's report on security of electricity supply and infrastructure investment. There are 36 amendments from the Industry Committee. Let's vote on 47 to 72. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. Now, the Commission's proposal as amended, we vote on that. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. We now vote on the draft legislative resolution. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. Next on the agenda is the vote on Mrs. Wallace's report on a request for, a point of order, Mr. Chichester, and no doubt you'll tell me which article you're asking for a point of order under.
With pleasure, Madam President. Just to inform the House that they have just successfully adopted at first reading a directive in agreement with the Council. Thank you.
Herzlichen Glückwunsch, Herr Kollege.
Congratulations. Next on the agenda is the vote on the Wallace report and the request for defence of the immunity and privileges, Mr. Umberto Bossi. There is a proposal from the Brescia Regional Court. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. We now have the proposed decision. This is a request from the Bergamo Court. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. We now have the proposal from the Milan Regional Court. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. Next on the agenda is the vote on the Speroni report and request for defence of the immunity and privileges of Mr. Jean Marchiani. Let's vote. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. We now have the vote on Mr. Lauck's report on the annual report of the European Central Bank for 2004. We are looking at a draft resolution. First of all, we can vote on Amendment 4. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We vote now on Amendment 10. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We vote now on Paragraph 2. A separate vote. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. We now vote on Amendment 5. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. Voting now on Paragraph 3. A separate vote. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We now vote on Amendment 12. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We now vote on 6. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We now vote on Paragraph 4. A separate vote. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. We now vote on Amendment 13. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. Now we have a roll call vote. The vote on Amendment 11. The vote is open. The vote is closed. 223 in favour, 350 against, 49 abstentions. This amendment is rejected. We now vote a separate vote on paragraph 5. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. We now vote on amendment 1. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. Voting now on Amendment 7. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We vote now on Amendment 14. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. Amendment 8. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. Amendment 2, those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. Amendment 9, those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We now vote a separate vote on Recital D, those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Carried. We now vote on Amendment 3. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Rejected. We now vote on the draft resolution. Those in favour? Against? Abstentions?